listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is going to be the first playoff game out of the gate on Saturday. It is going to be Kansas City at Arrowhead taking on Jacksonville. Patrick Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence. Alex Gold joining us from 6:10 a.m. in Kansas City to preview the Chiefs' side of things on our Progressive Guest Line. Drivers who can switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today. Find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Tony, it's always good to be on with you, man.
Always good to have you on.
It's this time of the year, you know, where we start to kind of rev up even more in Kansas City a little bit. We've been spoiled, and now it's go time.
Absolutely. Jacksonville's coming to town. All right, listen, I always take a little bit of it doesn't mean a ton, but they did meet during the regular season in Week 10. Any nuggets that can come out of that game to kind of give us an indication of what we could see on Saturday?
What was crazy about that matchup, if you go back and look, I mean, the Chiefs turned the ball over three times in that game. They had no takeaways, and they even got caught off guard by an onside kick. So Doug Peterson was ultra-aggressive. I think he's going to be ultra-aggressive against the Chiefs, because you typically have to. But the fact that Kansas City won a game by 10, despite three turnovers, they're not supposed to be able to do that. Certainly Kansas City cannot have that happen again, or they'll be going home very early in the divisional round of this football game. But also at the same time, I think that's what's given some Chiefs fans confidence heading in, is that, all right, the three turnovers, they got an onside kick on you, and you still win one by 10. So Chiefs fans are, let's put it this way, are preferring them over the Chargers. Understand the Chargers blew the lead, and Brandon Staley and the coaching malpractice and all that. But Chiefs fans were rooting for the Jags on Saturday night, not the Chargers.
Give us an idea of this season. It's 14-3. It's obviously a top record and whatnot. But give us an idea of the season, because without Tyreek Hill, people were wondering what this would look like, how it would be different, how was it different, and in ways, how was it the same?
Well, the whole conversation, even in training camp, was just that. You know, can this offense still be a top five offense? Can they be a top 10 offense? And most people here thought they could still at least be in that 8-10 range at minimum, because even with Alex Smith, Andy Reid, the worst the offense ever was around 11th or 12th. So for people here still thought they could be a top 10 offense. I don't think anybody thought they'd be the number one offense in football without Tyreek Hill. And that's just what's made this season a little bit surprising, because there was a thought that they could take a slight step back as they traded away Tyreek to kind of reset things cap wise to put themselves in a better spot. And maybe acknowledging that other teams went all in and the Chiefs are widening their window, but it could actually cost them this year. Well, we fast forward and they took care of their cap situation and sets them up better for the future. And here they are with the number one seed again. They're in a 14-win team. And so Chiefs fans, you know, at the beginning of the year probably weren't Super Bowl or bust. I think it's awfully difficult to convince anybody that that's not the case now when you win 14 games in the regular season and you've got home field, even if home field only applies for this weekend. If the Buffalo Bills play, you got to go, of course, to a neutral site. But, you know, it's back to Super Bowl or bust because of how this football team was able to perform. They've got a league average defense, too, which has always been the biggest question. Can you have just an average defense? Just an average defense is all you need. And that is what they have. And they have a defense that's number two in sacks in football.
Yeah. Where's the leakage? Where is there something that is concerning about this Chiefs team?
So there's three big things. The number one, though, is no doubt turnovers. And I mentioned what happened against Jacksonville, the three turnover game, no takeaways. Up until the final 2 or 3 weeks of the season, this team was turning it over in around 8 straight games. They weren't getting any takeaways. They started to get some takeaways here at the end, but that is still probably the biggest concern, is their inability to protect the football overall, and that there's going to be a crucial turnover that costs them a football game. The other one is special teams. And I mentioned also in that Jags game, the getting caught off guard by the onside kick. They've been caught off guard on a couple fakes this year. They also have a kicker in Harrison Butker, who has been one of the better kickers outside of Justin Tucker in football over the last probably 5 years. But this year he got hurt in week one, came back after a while, and still really isn't 100% right. And extra points have been adventurous, to say the least. They are no guarantee with Harrison Butker this year, and that includes their holder, their punter. It's been under fire from a former punter. There's been some back and forth in the media. So special teams is very concerning for Chiefs fans. And then the third one, while their defense has been better this year, they're the worst red zone defense in football. I believe it's around 70% or so, 68% touchdowns given up in the red zone. So those would be the three biggest deals. If you told me, hey, what does it look like if the Chiefs lose to Jacksonville? Well, it's going to be that they muff a special teams punt and they miss an extra point, and perhaps they can't stop anybody in the red zone.
What is it about Jacksonville? What is it? I mean, look, it's a short time to scout. I get it. But is there some things that the way Jacksonville is playing that sort of says, well, if that works, it could be something to be concerning on Saturday?
Well, I just think they have no pressure, right? I mean, they're a team that has no pressure whatsoever. They weren't expected to beat the Chargers. They were home dogs, and now they're 8.5-point underdogs against Kansas City, where everybody expects, you know, the Chiefs to win this game comfortably. And so I think there's something to be said when you have no pressure, and now you got all kinds of confidence. I mean, you're down 27-0, and you come back and win 31-30. I mean, that's an ultra-confidence boost. And if you're Trevor Lawrence, even if you make a mistake now at Arrowhead in the first quarter, first half, you certainly know what you're capable, even if it's a tougher competition. I think there's a huge advantage to having that confidence now. The other thing is just Jacksonville's playing a lot better, right? They're playing a lot better football in general. They were 3-7 when the Chiefs beat them in Week 10, and now, of course, they're the AFC South champs. So I don't know if it's one particular player other than, hey, Trevor Lawrence is the real deal, and I think is just a much more confident quarterback now than what he was in Week 10.
From the fan perspective, the what you hear on the street, and I'm going to ask this with as much respect to the situation as possible, but we were all kind of united with the DeMar Hamlin situation, but that given, the league's now has said if the Chiefs and Bills meet, it'll be in Atlanta. If you have a canceled game because of lightning or something where it isn't as tragic, people are worried that it sets a precedent, that it could be happen that if you have this sort of disparity, which hasn't happened in the league since the 40s, you could have this again. How did fans take it? They understand the situation. It's pretty tragic, and it's got a good ending. But it means that Arrowhead's not going to be Arrowhead if you play the game in Atlanta.
So fans weren't happy, obviously, about it. And you're right. I mean, everybody's thrilled with the outcome here and DeMar Hamlin at home and not even in a hospital anymore, which is incredible news. But on the football end, you know, my thought was there were still football consequences to what occurred, which was a game that didn't get finished. And so I thought they should have made the game up. But, okay, I understand why they didn't make the game up. Well, then you need to go to win percentage at that point in time. And they chose not to. Despite in the rule book, it says go to win percentage if a game is canceled. And the league chose not to do that. They chose to make up rules on the fly. And that's resulted in the scenario that you laid out, which is if Buffalo and Kansas City win this weekend, they're going to play a neutral site game in Atlanta. And I'll be honest, I think it's ridiculous. You know, I don't have an issue with the neutral site game being in Atlanta. That's fine. That's neutral. But the idea that we can just change the rules on the fly in week 18, week 17 of the season is absolutely ridiculous. But it's created kind of an interesting scenario where fans are divided this week, which is, hey, would you rather play Buffalo in Atlanta or would you rather play at Arrowhead against Cincinnati? And it's completely split. I actually said I'd rather play Buffalo in Atlanta because, to me, Cincinnati is the best team in the AFC. Look, they might lose this weekend to Buffalo, but I believe Cincinnati is the best team in the AFC, and they've been the Chiefs' kryptonite. You know, Joe Burrow's 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes. And even though those games have all been, you know, 3-4-point games, I still think Buffalo, without Von Miller, is not nearly as challenging as an opponent as they were earlier in the season when he really sealed the game in a win at Arrowhead.
30 seconds. Give me the read on Pacheco, the kid from Rutgers. I mean, that's a pretty good story.
Oh, it's a great story. He was a fan favorite in camp. They were talking him up, and everybody's like, is he really going to be that guy? They continue to give Clyde Edwards-Helaire an opportunity. And then after he got hurt, they realized, and okay, let's just stick with this Pacheco kid. And he's been awesome. I mean, he had a better year already than Clyde has ever had. And the real story other than him is Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon, other running back, is a touchdown machine all of a sudden. The guy's got 9 receiving touchdowns out of nowhere.
Alex Gold, appreciate it. As always, my friend, enjoy the game, and we'll probably catch up with you down the road soon with more Chiefs news. Alex, always good having you on, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Alex Gold, 6'10 in Kansas City on the Chiefs. And it does create some sort of interesting situation here. I mean, look, again, when you play in the regular season, you get a little bit of all these playoff games are going to be are different, right? The Giants and the Eagles, it's a different game than they played in Week 18 because most of the starters sat for the Giants. It's always that case. But there's little things that you can take. And one of the things that you can take out of that game in Week 10, I mean, might as well be a year ago at Week 10 at this point. But if you get to Jacksonville and you sack Trevor Lawrence and you can get to him, they don't win games. They don't overcome that very much during the season. So if you sack Trevor Lawrence, they tend to lose. And they got to Lawrence a lot in that game. And it was a close game. It was a 10-point game. But Jacksonville tends to be on the losing end if you can get to Lawrence a couple of times and sack him a couple of times. And we'll see on that. But again, this is Patrick Mahomes. This is the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the same script that we've seen a number of times. Remember last year, though, had a lead at home against Cincinnati, lost that lead at home. You want to talk about teams trying to get back to the playoffs to complete a journey. Again, Kansas City is on that list for what happened to them in the AFC title game last year. All right, we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's. We roll along.